I want you to remember that God's created everything you see. He breathed it into existence. You remember when his people were caught up in slavery? He rescued them. What he did was he parted the sea and he made a way for them. And then he delivered their enemies to them, and he unlocks wombs, and he provides water from a rock, and he provides manna from heaven, and he brought down the walls of Jericho. He froze the sun, allowing victory. He's toppled giants with tiny stones. He's brought fire from heaven. He shut the mouths of lions. He preserved life in the belly of a well. He's fed thousands with a few loaves. He gives the weak strength. He heals the sick. He's made the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, and he's overcome evil, and he's made a way through death for you and me by the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, that we will live with him forever. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. What are we afraid of? His resume is flawless. He controls everything. And he loves you.
If there was ever a time when we've needed to remember those two truths, that God controls everything and that he loves you, now would be that time. And even though church buildings all over the world today will be empty, we can still celebrate. Because the tomb that Jesus borrowed for those 3 days on that resurrection Sunday was also empty. And that one detail is the most important detail of this or any other day, for that matter. That's why, if you've noticed, I'm not sitting down today to deliver this message, because the resurrection of Christ is such great news that there's no way I could talk about it sitting down. It's too amazing. It's too powerful. It's too significant. And honestly, I'm too excited. But in case you're wondering, yes, it's really frustrating and disappointing for me that we can't all come together to celebrate the resurrection of Christ in person. I mean, after all, Easter Sunday for pastors is kind of like the Super Bowl for football players. It's a big deal. We usually have our highest attendance of the year. Everyone comes dressed in their Sunday best. The atmosphere is supercharged. And corporately, you get a very strong sense of the power and the significance of the resurrection of Christ. But this Easter, instead of coming together, we find ourselves assembled in front of televisions and computers and phone screens, having spent the last few weeks living in a world that we can hardly recognize. In this country alone, already thousands have died. Hundreds of thousands have been infected by a virus that for now appears to be impossible to stop. And so millions are under stay-at-home orders, and many businesses are closed. Every school-aged kid is now being homeschooled, while at the same time, many of their parents are having to work from home. And then our city streets and public places are all but deserted. And all I can say is that it just feels weird. That's the best word I can come up with. It's a place and a space that none of us have ever experienced before, and so it feels very surreal. I think many of us are kind of hoping that this is just a strange dream that we'll be waking up from soon so that we can breathe that sigh of relief like we do when we wake up and we realize that the dream we were having that seems so real isn't real. And we go, whew. But the reality is, this is our reality. And you know, I think that must have been a bit like what it felt for the disciples of Jesus some 2,000 years ago on that Easter Sunday morning before they learned of his resurrection. It had to seem so surreal. And that's because they had witnessed firsthand the divine power of Christ. They had seen Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead and feed the multitudes and even calm a storm. Now forget the fact that Jesus had told them a number of times what was going to happen to him, that it would happen. Because there was no way that they were going to be able to put two and two together in these very dark moments. And I find it interestingly coincidental that the disciples had placed themselves in a form of self-quarantine behind locked doors because they feared for their lives. Much like us, They too were very much afraid that to be out and about could be hazardous to their health. But it wasn't a virus that they were afraid of. It was the religious leaders of the day who would have loved to stomp out any final remnants of the movement that Jesus' three-year ministry had generated. And in that kind of environment, they certainly didn't want to end up dead like Jesus. Now, what's so interesting is that after encountering the resurrected Christ, almost to a man, their lives ended prematurely while trying to deliver the same message that Christ had been presenting, that the kingdom of God had come. Now, I have to say on this Easter Sunday that I honestly can't think of a better gift that God could give the world during our current situation. When there seems to be death all around us, then to remind us through the celebration of the resurrection of Christ this Easter Sunday, that for those of us who are in Christ, there's no need to be afraid of death. See, God, who is a waymaker, has made a way for all of us, every single inhabitant of this earth, to escape the power of death as well as the consequences of our sin. Now, it's clear that the coronavirus has been a world-changing event. Almost every country has gone into a kind of survival mode, as all of humanity is so painfully being reminded of our mortality. And that could be one of the reasons why, maybe in the past few weeks, the number of Bibles being purchased has increased exponentially. I read of one company that's reporting a 143% increase over last time this year. And it's maybe why online searches for the term prayer have skyrocketed in the past 30 days to record highs, at least as far back as Google makes search reports available. Well, Easter serves as a great reminder that as much as the coronavirus has been a world-changing event, the resurrection of Christ was a world-changing event of much greater magnitude. But its impact can only be experienced if you believe it for yourself to be true. And so the question that each of us needs to ask ourselves today is, do I believe it? Do I truly believe it? Because if you do, it changes everything. Now, I'm going to be reading today the first six verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I would highly recommend that before your head hits the pillow tonight, that you would take a few moments and just thoughtfully read through the entire chapter. But today we're just going to look at those first six verses, and here's what Paul writes. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to those Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, honestly, I just think chapter 15 gets better from there. But we're going to stop at those first six verses, because for the next few moments, I want us to focus on what Paul said about the death and the burial and the witnessed resurrection of Christ being of first importance. First importance. If something is of first importance, where should you probably place it? Well, hopefully as priority one, something that you consider above all else. Now, why would Paul make the assertion that this is of first importance? Well, I can think of a couple of reasons. It's of first importance because death is one of the most disconcerting realities of life. Since the first COVID-19 related death back in March, I'm just guessing that by the time this message will be viewed, somewhere in the neighborhood of 18,000 to 20,000 people will have died in this country alone. Which I know sounds catastrophic. But did you know that on average, 7,500 people die every single day in the United States? And somewhere around 150,000 people die every day in the world. And that's because throughout the history of mankind, we know that from the beginning of time right up to the present day, that 100 out of 100 people are going to die. Heard a story about a single gal who was willing to admit. She says, whenever I go to weddings, it's so annoying Because quite often the older people there will kind of poke me and say, "You're next." So I just started doing the same thing to them at funerals. "You're next." Now, I wasn't sure whether I should include that joke or not, because while it's funny, I think it's funny, it's also not funny. Because, you know, as a society, we tend to hate death. We certainly fear death. And we'll do anything, almost pay anything, just to postpone death, even a few hours. And I believe that's often because from this side of life, death appears to be the end of us, which can create all sorts of apprehension and anxiety. And so we tend to not only avoid the subject as much as we can, but also as much of the reality of it as we can. I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, "Hey, Brian, I don't do funerals. I don't do funerals." Which brings us to another reason why the death, burial, and the witness resurrection of Christ is of first importance. And it's because the resurrection reveals that death is not the end of you. See, Easter proves that you can die but not be dead, that your life isn't over, that it isn't the end of you. That's exactly why Jesus said to his friend Mary, right before he raised Lazarus from the dead, in John 11:25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." That's great news that I think speaks deeply to our soul. Because the Bible says that God has implanted eternity into every human heart. That's why there's something inside you and me that just senses that there is more to this life than just this life. Now, a lot of us, I know, are kind of anxious to get back to our normal lives when this pandemic is over. But you know, in reality, we should be so much more excited about the eternity that God has promised to those who know Him. Now, one of the reasons that I believe the resurrection was of first importance to the Apostle Paul was because he had his own personal experience with what comes after this life. We know from the partial account of Paul's life recorded for us in the book of Acts that on one occasion, his boldness to share Christ almost got him killed. In fact, it actually might have. We're told that while he was preaching in the city of Lystra, some Jews who had come there from Antioch and Iconium, where Paul had recently been ran out of town, were able to turn the crowd to whom he was speaking against him. And it says that in an attempt to kill him, they actually stoned Paul and then dragged him out of the city, thinking that he was dead. But it says that after his disciples gathered around him, he actually got up and went back into the city. And I believe quite possibly that this could be the near-death experience that Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he describes the significant impact that this had on him. Now, I think it's fairly obvious that he's trying to be very careful not to boast about his experience when he begins his explanation of this experience by saying, "Hey, I know this guy." And it's like when someone who's really telling a story or seeking advice for themselves kind of starts out and says, "Hey, I have this friend. I have this friend." Well, you can read about it for yourself, but my paraphrase of what Paul goes on to say would be something like this: "I've had an experience of what life looks like on the other side of this life, and it's amazing, it's so good. But I've also been instructed that I can't really tell you anything about it. Other than that, it has made me even more convinced than ever about the incredible future that awaits us after this life, which now just motivates me to try to make sure that as many people as possible have the opportunity to experience it." Well, wouldn't it be wonderful, like Paul, to have the assurance that when you die, you won't be dead? Well, the resurrection proves that that's not some vague hope. That's the immutable promise of God. There is never a man, woman, or child in whom the risen Jesus lives who can do any more than physically die. The real person, the real me, and the real you, the God-created soul, is going to survive without experiencing one moment of eternal death. And that's why we can say with confidence that the resurrection of Christ changes everything. It changes us into fearless people who do not fold under cancer or heart attack or a worldwide pandemic, or anything else that we might possibly face. And that's because when you aren't afraid of death, It greatly minimizes the fear of almost anything that life might throw at you, including a deadly virus. And that hope then becomes an anchor for our soul because we trust that God is a way maker. We understand how he's been faithful since the beginning of time, how he was faithful when he raised Christ from the dead, and how he continues to be faithful even now. It was over a month ago that I came across a song that has been blessing me so much because it's reminded me of the faithfulness of God that we can both trust in and bank on. It's called Faithful Now by Vertical Worship. And here are some of the words. I am holding on to faith because I know you'll make a way. I don't always understand. I don't always get to see, but I will believe it. I will believe it because you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear. I will preach to my doubt. You were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. It's a great song. Well, folks, the resurrection of Christ is our guarantee that just as God was faithful then, he will be faithful now. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter moments of fear in our life, or that we're not going to experience messages of doubt in our mind. And during those moments, it will always be okay to talk to God about those doubts and those fears. But I got to tell you that at some point, you're going to need to have a conversation with those doubts and fears about God. In the midst of this crisis, you're going to need to speak to your fear. You're going to need to preach to your doubt and remind them that because of the resurrection of Christ, your hope isn't just that there's going to be a better tomorrow. Your hope and mine is that there's going to be a better forever. But each of us has to decide if we're going to choose to put our hope in God. Now, we have every reason in the world to do so, but the choice is up to you and the choice is up to me. Now, because we've gathered virtually today, this might seem a little bit awkward. But I'm going to ask you to make a declaration today that you and I really think need to make every single day to put our hope in God. And so if you would be willing to affirm today, I choose to put my hope in God, I'm going to ask you to demonstrate that decision right now by simply raising your hand and right there where you are and just say, I choose to put my hope in God. And for the duration of this pandemic, however long it might last, I would just encourage you to make that declaration every day. When you get up, I choose today to put my hope in God. Now, there also have to be some folks watching today who've never made that initial decision to surrender your life to Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity right now as well. If that's a decision that you're ready to make, I would also encourage you to raise your hand as you say, I choose right now for the very first time to put my hope in God. And if you just raised your hand and said that, would you please click on the action button to let us know about your decision so that we can follow up with you on your new journey of faith and help you grow? But right now, what I'd like to do is just pause and pray over those declarations and decisions we've made. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that even though the church building is empty, we are still filled with hope and excitement because the tomb was empty on that resurrection morning because Jesus walked out alive. And Father, we thank you for the hope that we have because of that, that when our life is over, it's not really over. And we just ask that in these next few days and weeks and months, as we go through this pandemic, that every day we would thank you for the gift of Easter, for the promise of life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Give us the strength every day that we need to make it through the challenges that we're about to face. Help us to keep our eyes focused on your son, Jesus, and our hope planted firmly in you so that you can be the anchor for our soul. Father, thank you today for anyone who made an initial decision to follow you. We pray that you will lead them to continue to grow in their walk with you. And we'll just keep celebrating and appreciating and honoring you because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray today. Amen and amen. Well, I want to say thanks for joining us on this Resurrection Sunday. And while we won't all get a chance to hear it from everyone, let's just affirm it right where we are today. Remember the statement we make on Easter, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.